Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my returning guest today is my friend John Sullivan, who was he is a former state chairman, Democratic state chairman in New York. And John is here to talk about the possibility of Stephanie Miner, a former mayor of Syracuse, running for governor. So, John, what have you heard?
Well, I've heard just what you've heard, that she's seriously considering it, and that she actually formed a campaign committee, which would be a repository for funds. And I know she's considering taking speaking offers from around the state, but that's about as far as it goes right now.
So the petitions process is going to start up pretty soon, maybe
Petition process, we have a nominating process involving the state convention. State convention is in May, and you know, I can't even find the actual date. I went on the website of the New York State Democratic Party, and it doesn't say the date and or location of the convention, which is odd.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was always concerned when we actually started the first website for the state committee, and being a repository for accurate information is always one of the goals we felt, you know, was important to fulfill. And I've always been critical of the website recently, at least, because it seems to be more oriented toward getting you to contribute anything than giving you information. And so I don't know exactly when the state convention is. And I don't even know where it is, to be honest with you. But the convention is the basis upon which candidates are nominated, and they're nominated by state Democratic committee members who are elected two from each assembly district in the state. And they will convene, and they will vote on a weighted basis to nominate someone for governor, lieutenant governor, for comptroller, and attorney general. And if you get, I believe it's 35%, I'm not sure about that, the rules may have changed, you're allowed to go on the ballot without having to circulate petitions. The person who gets the largest number of votes will become the designee of the Democratic Party. But it's a process whereby candidates in the past have been given an opportunity to run without having to go through the process of, you know, statewide circulation of petitions, which is onerous and very difficult because you have to have so many signatures, I think, in each congressional district. So years ago, it used to be that various county chairmen, if they wanted to place someone on the ballot to create a primary, they would then swap off votes. There'd be two or three different roll call ballots to assure, in some cases, that everyone got the opportunity to run if they wanted to. So I rather think this time there won't be an opportunity for anyone to run unless they circulate petitions. And that's a, you know, that's a very, that's a tough process. So anyway, the petitions are then circulated, I think, in June into the middle of July, thereabout.
Right.
After that, there's still opportunity for independent nominating petitions. And then the primary is in September. And this year, the primary, I understand, is not going to be on September 11th, which would be the Tuesday, because of the date and also the Jewish holidays. And they moved it to Thursday instead. So whether that will affect turnout is, I guess, anyone's question.
Now, do you think it would affect turnout? Because people are usually, they usually know that voting is on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a Thursday.
You know, people are generally creatures of habit. And any change is difficult for people to abide by. So I do think it will have an effect what extent, I don't know.
Okay,
but,
so usually, Cynthia,
we get about a 10 to 15% turnout in statewide primaries, other than in presidential years, which there was a, of course, our statewide elections are not, don't coincide with the presidential calendar. But 600,000 votes, there are almost 6 million Democrats registered in New York, and the average number of voters in primaries is around 600,000, I believe.
Wow. So that roughly comes to 10%.
Yeah. It can go higher and has. And, you know, hopefully the higher the turnout, I think the higher turnout would generally favor the incumbent. The lower turnout, well, that's kind of conventional wisdom. Anyway,
so,
you know,
the
last time was that we had a governor from upstate New York? You know who that was?
A governor from upstate New York?
Yeah, upstate
Pataki. New York.
Pataki. No, I wouldn't consider Peekskill upstate. But then again, we're in that whole debate about what's upstate and what's downstate. Pataki was, in my view, not an upstate governor. But a real upstate governor, meaning north of the metropolitan area. And I guess I would put that at somewhere around Poughkeepsie and Dutchess County. You know what? From my perspective, the end of the MTA rail line is really the beginning of the metropolitan area. So anything north of Poughkeepsie, I'd consider upstate New York. Anyway, the last true upstate governor was a Republican by the name of Nate Miller from Syracuse, when he was elected in 1920. And then Al Smith went on to beat him in 1922. Governors
wow.
only served 2 years then. So there have been other upstate governors. I think there was the Roswell P. Flower from Watertown, and he was governor in the late 1800s. And I think who else? There was somebody from Portland who was governor. But generally speaking, most of our governors have come from other than upstate. And I, you know, frankly, I think maybe it's time to change that.
As of right now, we have 3 potential Democrats who are talking about running for governor. There's Andrew Cuomo, there's Cynthia Nixon, and there's Stephanie Miner. And if Stephanie Miner does decide to jump into the fray, what do you think that would do to Cynthia Nixon's campaign?
I think it would diminish her chances because, A, you'd have 2 women. B, you'd have 2 women who are whose credentials are markedly different, and who I would say one of whom is much more qualified than the other, at least in my view. I think, you know, Mayor Miner, Stephanie Miner, was mayor for 8 years in Syracuse, which is one of the leading cities in the state, and she's I know Stephanie. She's honest. She is balanced. She's experienced. She's been tested. Her priorities, I think, are right on the money. And she knows New York State. I think she'd make a great governor because she's smart. She's a straight shooter. She's very resolute. She's had difficulties in her term, as any mayor would. She's got a city with a shrinking tax base. And the governor, quite frankly, wasn't very helpful to her during her term as mayor. In the first 2 years, maybe, but after that, she took my old job as executive chair of the state Democratic Committee. And then mm-hmm. she wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times criticizing the governor for the way 1 year he tried to balance the budget by putting off the contribution to state pension funds by localities. And she called it a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like that. And after that, there was a falling out. And they still never quite made up after that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a,
and,
you know, there's,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
There's the statement that Cynthia Nixon made about upstate New York.
Ithaca.
Upstate begins in Ithaca. What'd you think of that?
You know, I've always heard the saying Ithaca's like like Manhattan in an island, a 15-mile radius around Ithaca is like Manhattan in upstate New York. The rest of it, Tompkins County, is reality. Ithaca is a very special place and a wonderful city, but it's not the beginning of upstate New York. It's more central New York. And if you don't know, upstate New York begins way before Ithaca. I don't know what you do know. I mean, I just don't know what Cynthia's bona fides are with respect to her knowledge of upstate New York, but that comment certainly didn't help.
Right. And the fact that she's supposed to be a New Yorker, you know, that should have been common knowledge, wouldn't you think?
Well, the IQ of most New York City area residents about upstate New York is, in my view, and traditionally has been rather limited. You know, there's a very famous, I think it was a cover of a magazine about it was like here's New York and then the rest of the state. And it's New York is huge and the rest of the state's this little tiny piece of the map. You know, once people venture north of the Tappan Zee Bridge, I think many of our downstate friends would be hard-pressed to tell you how to get to Buffalo. You know, where's Rochester? Where's Syracuse? Where's Saranac Lake? Where's Ogdensburg? They've maybe heard of some of these places, but they don't necessarily have really an idea of the breadth and diversity and the geography of the state. I'll tell people I'm from Oswego, and they go, oh, down on the southern tier? No, 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 that's Owego. Or they'll say, oh, in the Finger Lakes. No, the Great Lakes. I mean, when you don't know the difference between the Great Lakes and the Finger Lakes and Saranac Lake, how can you expect to really govern the state of New York? So there's a learning curve that anyone who wants to run for state office, I think, needs to engage in. And I've used this little saying, you've heard me repeat it, and I'll say it one last time. I don't think you ought to run for statewide office in New York unless you can tell the difference between Oswego, Owego, Otsego, and Otego. And I'll throw in Oswegatchie. You know, once you can tell me that, then maybe run for office. So I think Cynthia Nixon still has a lot to learn about upstate. That doesn't mean that she's not bright, that she's not informed, particularly on educational issues. And it doesn't mean that maybe she's not going to be able to be, you know, adequately funded. Who knows? All I can tell you is match them up credential by credential, and Stephanie Miner, at least in my view, is far more qualified to be the governor of the state of New York than Cynthia Nixon.
Well, Stephanie Miner has had experience being a mayor of a large upstate city, wouldn't you say?
She has, and, you know, I think that is a plus. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, the system is so broken, we need to go outside the system. Don't elect any politicians to anything. Well, the problem with that is somebody comes in completely from, let's say, the business community or the non-political community with no experience, and all of a sudden they try to get something done, and they find that they can't really comprehend how the whole process works, and they find that it's you know, it helps to have had a little bit of experience in running for public office before, understanding the process, understanding the nature of the way compromise and transactional activity brings your agenda forward. And so oftentimes they simply get frustrated and start, issuing edicts and orders. It's like I would say the President of the United States, who's never held public office before. All of a sudden, he finds himself being criticized because he can't simply, like, it's not like running the family hotel chain. You can't just dictate to people.
Right.
I guess I'm not putting it very well, but what I'm trying to say is, in fact, I think Sam Rayburn, who was the Speaker of the House of Texas back in the 60s, he was a very wise guy, and he said, if a wise man, I should say. And when Kennedy was elected and brought in all the Harvard best and brightest, Sam Rayburn was quoted as saying, yeah, nice, but I wish a couple of them maybe had run for sheriff once. So I am one who firmly believes that if you want to run for statewide office, start out by running for the Board of Education, then running for alderman, then running for county legislator, then running for assembly, then running for the state senate, then running for Congress, then running, you know, you don't necessarily have to go all of those steps, but experience does matter. And it matters once somebody attempts to do the job. So electability, I don't know. Maybe it's the modern, more modern way of looking at things. Maybe it's more of a liability than it is an asset. But I think experience counts.
What I've noticed is that there's no allegiance from the candidates to the party and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So candidates who have virtually no experience at all jump into the fray without, you know, party backing, and it's just a mess. And I think, you know, people who have observed it can see it firsthand with Cynthia Nixon, and it's like, you know, I think we have to get back to basics again. And until
you and I are of a single mind on that. I mean, I guess we're old school, Cynthia.
Everything just seems to be falling apart.
Well, and you know, I think Thomas Jefferson, who was obviously one of our founding fathers, he said something that I have always taken to heart, and I've always emphasized with my students. You know, I taught on the college level as an adjunct professor for 15 years. And first thing I would write on the board would be his quote, which is, "A people who believe they can be both free and ignorant believe that which never has been and never can be. A democracy presupposes an informed electorate." Right on, Thomas Jefferson. And Ben Franklin, someone asked him as he's leaving the convention, the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, what have you wrought, Mr. Franklin? He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." You know, we can't operate, we can't keep a republic, we can't keep a democratic form of government without good civics education. And I think that's where we have failed largely for whatever reason. I think New York State history, for example, is taught, I think it's sixth grade, there's a section on New York State. In Texas, you know, they teach Texas history K through 12. And so people in Texas are very, very aware of the history of the state of Texas, you know, culture, traditions, et cetera, of Texas. New York, we are not very New York-centric in our curriculum. And so people don't really, you could ask probably half the people in the state couldn't even tell you who their assemblyman is or what assembly district they live in. The knowledge of our government is limited. And so, and people pay casual attention to the news. And so, you know, name recognition dominates, or someone comes in and acts in a demagogic fashion and tries to drive up the fear factor and then gets votes by that. So, I mean, what's wrong with having a debate on the issues? And there are lots of issues to debate. You know, that Stephanie Miner, I think, would be in a unique position to look at the issues, let's say, of what do we need to do to focus on economic development upstate. And I dare say she would question, I think, the approach that the governor has taken, which is to pick winners and losers and to do things like, well, let's take the example in Syracuse. Economic Development Agency is now involved, but Alian Calleros, who was the head of SUNY Poly, was involved in a no-bid, I shouldn't say no-bid, but it was a limited request for proposals for a contract to build a film hub in Onondaga County. And it's a $15 million project that the governor touted as being, we're going to have, you know, a lot of movies are going to be made in central New York. Well, we have a big empty building sitting in the town of DeWitt as a film hub, which the state of New York paid $15 million to build, and there's virtually nothing in it. And it was built by Core Development, whose executives, Joe Girardi, general counsel, and Joe Aiello, the president, are both under indictment for, and Aiello was convicted in one trial already, of attempting to bribe Joe Prococo, who was Andrew Cuomo's right-hand man.
Right.
And the point is, the project failed. There were no jobs created. There were supposed to be 200 and some odd jobs created, I think, in this film hub. Now, there's another building in the town of DeWitt in Syracuse, which is supposed to be, is going to be a LED lighting company factory. And it cost, I think, $90 million to build. This is all New York State monies. And a company named Sora, S-O-R-R-A, they were going to move in and they were going to create 500 some odd jobs. It was going to be a, you know, LED lighting factory, high tech. Well, what happened? They pulled out. No jobs were created. The factory is empty, and there were no repercussions. They didn't have any of their own money invested. It was all taxpayer money. It was a request for proposals that went only to the Core Development Company, big contributors to the Cuomo administration. And supposedly Joe Prococo got a kickback. That's what the trial, that trial is going to be coming up in May, I believe. So corruption, the failure of New York to properly develop upstate is one issue. The other thing is the way they've gone about it, which has largely failed in terms of producing jobs, is an issue that someone like Stephanie Miner, I think, would be very capable of tuning in on and speaking to.
Okay. So has there been anything written or spoken about when she would make an announcement, one way or the other?
Well, no, but the timetable is one of two timetables. If she's really serious, she probably would be, I guess we'll know maybe this weekend something, because the Democratic Rural Conference is meeting at the Desmond in Albany on Friday and Saturday. I don't know whether she plans to attend, but if she wanted to be a candidate, I would think she would probably be there. So we'll see if she comes to that. And then the state convention, and you have to lay the groundwork for support for the state convention, which means you need to woo state committee people. Or you could choose to avoid the state convention entirely, just figure that, you know, you're not going to succeed, and just go the petition route, which Andrew Cuomo did, by the way, in 2000. He came to the convention. He didn't have enough support to beat Carl McCall, so he withdrew his name from consideration and said they're going to go out and do the petition route, which they did and got on the ballot. And then he withdrew in September after all of that ballyhoo, and Carl McCall won the primary. He couldn't withdraw his name. And then, of course, Carl McCall went on to lose to George Pataki because in part he had been diminished by the candidacy of nascent candidacy of Andrew Cuomo. Timing is everything.
Okay. So you think maybe by this weekend we'll know something?
Well, I think the signs will be there. You know, the all of the statewide wannabes are supposed to attend the Democratic Rural Conference, which is, by the way, that's an organization that I helped to found, which we founded in 1995. And it was originally the smallest counties in the state, counties with populations of under 100,000. I think they've now upped it to maybe 200,000. But there were originally 40 counties in the state that were more rural that banded together in the Democratic Rural Conference. And we had our first meeting in Ithaca, as a matter of fact, of all places, and endorsed candidates for election for statewide office. So that's coming up this weekend. And so the comptroller candidate, Tom DiNapoli, who will be well-received, he's having a breakfast, I think, on Saturday. The governor and lieutenant governor will be there on Friday night. The attorney general, I think he may be hosting a luncheon, Eric Schneiderman. But they'll all be there. And so I assume Cynthia Nixon would go as well, since she's an announced candidate. If she doesn't show up to the Democratic Rural Conference, not a good sign. And if, again, if I were Stephanie Miner, I would be there just to cover my bets in case I did want to run. So we'll see.
Okay, so this is a conversation that will be continued. And maybe in the not-too-distant future, you could talk about the conference that will take place this weekend. So you have been listening to former State Democratic Chairman John Sullivan. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, leave a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thanks, John. We'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Bye.